It's time for America's most unique motorsports show, Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor, brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Mostly Motorsports. I'm Scott Traylor, along with producer Austin O'Neill. We got a good show lined up for you today. Blackjack Brian Brown is going to join us here in a little bit. We're going to talk about him picking up his fifth Knoxville Nationals championship in the 410 division up at Knoxville Raceway.
Hold on.
What?
You said Knoxville Nationals.
Oh, I said Knoxville Nationals. Fifth Knoxville championship.
Track championship.
Gosh, boy, I'm glad you caught me on that one, Austin. You know, you just never know what I might say, right?
No. And
you've been working with me long enough to know that you got to kind of take care of me up here a little bit, right?
I do. I bet Brian would appreciate picking up his fifth.
Right. Yeah, no doubt about it. How about that? It's pretty cool to see him pick up his fifth championship up there at Knoxville Raceway in the 410 division. We'll talk to him about that and more. Austin, today's a pretty big day, really. I'm kind of looking forward to the races tonight at North Wilkesboro. What about you? You looking forward to that a little bit?
Yeah, so they had a couple of races here. Might have been a week or two ago.
They had a test and tune, I think, last night, didn't they?
I'm not sure. They usually do a test and tune. So, like, the way the schedule was supposed to be built was, like on Monday, like, a test and tune, and Tuesday, Wednesday to do, racing action. And then I think it was maybe a week or two ago, they had some events get canceled due to tire situations. The issue with Wilkesboro right now is it's sat dormant for so many years, and the pavement's old and aged
abrasive.
And weathered, and it's so abrasive that you can go out there and burn two laps in qualifying and lay down a great time. But you come back in and you do tire readings, and they're almost junk and just
after a couple laps
feathered, and yeah, because you're running hard for qualifying. So they had to cancel some race. And so moving on to a feature, like when they ran the Wheeler Modifieds there, if you watch the racing, it's like they weren't even moving. Like, I noticed, like, man, why is the pace
slow,
so backed
right?
up?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I believe it was, 2 to 3 seconds, off their qualifying pace. And, later find out that, guys were having to back their pace up so much to have their tires last for 50 laps. And
yeah.
It actually kind of put on some good racing. You saw, 2 and 3 wide racing, kind of back in the pack. But as the race kind of went on, cars fell out, tires, burn off and all that. It kind of got single filed out, but it's crazy that I bet most of the guys that race the modifieds and probably some of the guys that race the late model stocks tonight hardly ever get to race on the track like that. So
right.
It'll be really interesting to see the strategy that goes into tonight and what teams have to do to get their car and tires to last. I'm not sure what the lap count for tonight is, but it should be anywhere from 50 to 150 laps.
I always feel that the slower the cars go, the better the race is. Would you agree with that? When I love the spectacle of speed. I love watching cars bail off into a corner at a high rate of speed. But typically, that doesn't prove to be a good race. It seems like the slower the cars go, the better race they put on. Would you agree with that?
I think in some instances it might. I think, if Wilkesboro didn't have the pavement issue where it was abrasive, and they've actually been able to lay a pretty decent amount of rubber down, within, about a half a month of testing and then, this month's race is I think if it could have had some rubber kind of widen out and, where guys could use the middle and keep their speed up, I think the racing would be, right there, and then you have your tire fall off. But I think, sometimes, backing the pace up can put on good racing. It keeps the cars kind of closer together, but
it bunches them up a little bit.
I like just the spectacle of speed. I'm a half mile guy and dirt racing and big, big short
big
track racing
like.
For pavement racing. So, I think, even for Wilkesboro being big, it's actually putting on decent, decent racing. And speaking of I was talking about the laps a little bit ago, and it's a 125 lap feature tonight for the late model stocks.
For the late models.
Yep.
You know, to me, when I look at that racetrack, Austin, it looks like there's so much sealer on that racetrack from them covering up the cracks in the racetrack. You would think that your car would get loose or be a little bit out of control through the corners on that racetrack. Would you agree with that a little bit?
Yeah, I'm not.
I mean, they're going at a slower pace, right. So maybe they don't realize it as much. I don't know what the track record was for the modifieds when it comes to speed or lap times, but if they were that far off the pace, then that tells me that they were also having to deal with some of the sealer on the racetrack as well.
Yeah, they might have had it. That might have an issue or an effect on the cars. You watch in-car video, and for fans that want to see some like testing video and some behind the scenes, go to Dirty Mo Media's YouTube page, and they do like a 10, 11 parts, like a little mini series of, you know, Junior leading up to his debut back at the Speedway tonight. And they had a couple of videos, you know, the past 2 weeks of doing testing, and like he was actually getting around the track pretty well. And he wasn't like he was, you know, really, you know, fighting for a lot of grip, and like the track was like slick. It was actually like, you know, maybe you catch a slick spot here and there, but I felt like the car was, you know, pretty stuck, and it wasn't out from under him. So, you know, I think there's a lot of things, you know, guys are fighting down there, but that's just kind of what makes it unique.
Well, let's face it, the facility itself is wore out. I mean, everything, right? I mean, the entire facility is. I mean, I love going to that place. In fact, I was there at the last time they raced there in 2010. But that, even when I was there in 2010, that track was just wore out. The press boxes, the grandstands, just about everything was just about used up.
Yeah, and you know, since that race to now, you know, you've had weather come through, and you know, people vandalize the facility and
stealing
and
stuff.
Stealing, and you know, some of the press boxes up top have been torn down, and there was a building in Turn 4 that was torn down prior to having any racing there, just because the infrastructure was so bad on it. But besides that, you know, the stuff that is still standing, it's in pretty good shape. So if it wasn't, it'd be torn down, because you can't have people, you know, around if it's not in good shape, right? So, you know, even though that the facility's, you know, rough and needs a really good facelift, which sounds like it's coming here soon, there should be a big announcement within the month of September of what the future is really going to look like for North Wilkesboro. And, you know, what's nice is they've had a grounds crew, you know, work at the facility for those, you know, years that sat vacant and just kind of kept it, you know,
maintained.
It wasn't like nothing great. I mean, still you have buildings fall down, but it wasn't like it just went out to rot. So, you know, they did do a pretty good, you know, job of keeping it, you know, maintained and allowed them to actually come back and, you know, have this event.
Is Junior going to be running the car's late model stocks? Is that what he's going to be running?
Yes, and the car he'll be in is in the... So Junior ran back in, like, the 90s, you know, on a NASCAR weekend with his late model stock, and it was the green number 3 Sundrop car, and they were able to partner back up with Sundrop for these two events and kind of do a throwback car to when he last raced there back in the 90s.
Yeah. So I'm kind of looking forward to tonight's action. This is night number 1. They're going to race tonight and tomorrow night, correct?
It's night tomorrow night, and that's it. And that's it for pavement racing at Wilkesboro.
And
the pavement will be paved up or ripped up. And starting October 3rd, 4th, and 5th, you'll see front-wheel drive cars, mini stocks, 602 crate late models, and
some Blue Ridge late models. I don't know what that is, but
I'm going to assume it's a
regional
East Coast series,
deal. Yeah.
And that's the month and the final racing at Wilkesboro before it's, you know, revamped.
Do you think there's a possibility that racetrack could end up being the race that they run the trucks on? Do you think that could happen?
It's not staying a dirt track.
When are they going to put the pavement back on it?
After. So we're going to run the dirt races, and then they haven't announced what their full intention of the plans are, if it's going to be 100% new facility, or if they're just going to fix the track and do some like infrastructure stuff to the buildings. They haven't announced it yet. We're still waiting on Marcus Smith to make his big announcement. But from what was said when they announced this, these 2 months of racing, that they would have new pavement and a new facility. And, you know, at that point, we don't know if it's going to bring in cup racing or weekly late model racing or what their plan is.
You know, to me, I hate to say this, but it really doesn't make much sense to spend that amount of money on that racetrack, does it? I mean, I appreciate people wanting to bring back a piece of history, right? And North Wilkesboro is one of the great all-time racetracks. I watched a lot of races there when I was a kid on television. And I've been there once. But to spend the amount of money that it would take to pave that racetrack, if they don't have the resources to fix the entire facility, then does it make sense to just redo the racetrack and repave it, in your opinion?
What's different than them repaving in Wilkesboro and then spending $1 to $2 million to bring dirt in for Bristol?
Well, there's that. You got a good point, right?
So,
there.
Yeah. You know, fans, NASCAR fans have said it for a long time now. They want more short track racing, and NASCAR does not give them more short track racing. Look, we have a street course next year.
How much money do you think they have to invest in the facility itself? It have to be
a couple million. I'm not.
It have to be $10 million.
I don't know how much that stuff would cost, but you're gonna need. I think the bleachers in 1 and 2 are probably still in decent condition. The front stretch would need to be redone. Buildings would need to be redone. And the back stretch would need some work, too.
I don't think you can do it for a couple million, Austin.
I don't know how much it would cost. I don't work. I don't know enough about that industry of what it would take and what the costs are right now. Look, everything's gone up almost double to triple. So, you know, maybe it was $5 million 3 years ago. Maybe it's $15 million now because of all the inflation and the price increases.
As you know, the price of materials in the construction industry right now are through the roof, right? Lumber, labor, everything. It's all through the roof right now. I got to feel that the budget that they had scheduled to rejuvenate that racetrack has went up twice as much as it was prior to when they first put out the initial cost of what it was going to cost to redo that facility. I think it's probably double of that now.
There's a very, very, very good possibility. But, you know, is it a wise investment to, you know, bring a facility back that fans have wanted back on the schedule for countless years now numerous years. And finally, you got to give the fans what they want. If you want more fans in the stands, give them what they want. This is what they want. They don't want to go to Chicago for a street course. They don't want to see more road course racing. They want back in the old days, short track racing in their hometown. And if that's how you got to fill the stands and, you know, get people on TV, then you got to do it. It's a business. So you got to figure out what's going to make your business grow, succeed, and gain more money and ultimately not let you go under.
Yeah, I don't, to me, here's the thing. In the heyday of NASCAR, where were most of the short tracks located, Austin? They were all in the southeast, right? They were all around that area. Is that what people want? Do they want those racetracks to come back to life? Do they want to regionalize cup racing again? Is that what they're after, you think?
I don't think they want it to be back in the south. Just look at Auto Club. Auto Club's going to be a half mile. You know, this big boom in the, you know, early 2000s of mile and a half cookie cutters and 2 mile tracks have just faded away. They ran their course, and, you know, look at Auto Club's going to become a half mile, and there's a image of the plans, and you can fit the half mile inside the grass on the front stretch.
Mm-hmm.
Just shows how big the facility is. And, you know, I think some of the big, you know, mile and a half, 2 mile tracks can stay, and that's, you know, kind of a one-off deal. But, you know, some of these tracks that don't put on good racing can go and become a short track or
there's
something under a mile. And Auto Club's one of them. Look at Kentucky's not doing anything. Chicagoland's not doing anything. You know, you can repurpose all those tracks and to be smaller. And if you have companies around the track wanting to invest and build and use that land, sell off half your land and keep a racetrack.
There's still a few good 1.5-mile tracks, though. Kansas Speedway is definitely one of the great 1.5-mile racetracks, I would think. I also got to think that Atlanta is, now that they've redid the banking in it, for some reason that racetrack really appeals to me now more than it did back in the day. I went back to the original configuration in 1989 when it was just a big oval, but before they made it a tri-oval. But I still think, you know, to be honest with you, I'm not sure about Texas. I'm not sure about Las Vegas.
Yeah, I mean, look at Texas. Is they're talking about redoing Texas and either making it like an Atlanta or make it like it used to be. You know, it's just, like I said, the big mile and a half stuff, it's kind of ran its course. It's overwatered and oversaturated, you know, the tracks that we have on the schedule. It's time to break it up and make it a little more, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? Tougher on the drivers, so we're not racing on the same thing every week.
Make drivers uncomfortable when they race.
I guess. I mean,
yeah.
Look at what Atlanta did.
Drivers are intimidated by Atlanta, I think, a little bit.
Oh, well, I mean,
because they race in a pack.
It's a pack on a short track,
right? Yeah,
you're running super speedway speeds on a track almost half the length.
Yeah. Frog, he chimed in. He said, I thought I read there was a $10 million grant from the state for improvements.
Yeah, so I'm not sure if it was $10 million for... There was like three tracks that got money. Rockingham, Wilkesboro, and Charlotte Motor Speedway. I'm not sure if it's 10... I'm pretty sure it's 10 grand for all three for each track. So $30 million in total.
Mm.
And that's going to go towards...
That's a lot of money.
Going to go towards, revamping the facility, and then whatever money comes in from, you know, the RaceXR broadcast and ticket sales.
Well, listen, first of all, to do the capital improvements to that facility, the material that you will need to redo the facility, that in itself is a challenge because, as you know, a lot of people are waiting on materials to do construction jobs right now, right? So who knows when it will get done? Because it's like in the motorsports industry. How long did you have to wait on pistons, right?
6 months.
Yeah. Same kind of thing, though.
No, right? 4 months, actually.
4 months? Yeah. Chuck's chiming in. Rick's hanging out with us. Frog. Marie says that Grandview Speedway has sold. Did you see that?
Yeah, so I pulled in this morning and I saw a picture of Trailway Speedway, which is, you know, a long-standing Pennsylvania track. I think it's been around for 50, 60 years now, and it was sold to some farmers, and they had a picture of the track, and fans had hoped that it would come back, and it's all torn down, and you can just see the outline of the track left, all the fencing and billboards.
Can you pull up a picture of that?
I don't remember where I saw it at. I'll try and find it again, but track's pretty much gone, and then Grandview.
It's going to be a farm field.
It's a farm field. It's actually in a farm field, so it's not going to take much to plant some crop over it. But, yeah, I saw a deal about Grandview that it was sold to Copart, and Copart, you know, is pending payment or sale on the facility, and it'll be no longer next year, which kind of sucks because Grandview always puts on a pretty decent race when Eastern Storm comes over, and then when the All-Stars head that way. So it's definitely tough seeing tracks, you know, go away like that. We're seeing the same deal happen at I-80. I'm pretty sure Copart has a big play in, and you know, I-80 kind of shutting down and being bought. So we still haven't heard what actually the true plan is. That's just kind of, you know, hearsay on that. But yeah, it's definitely tough seeing tracks, you know, that have a staple in racing.
Seeing too many of them close down right now.
Up.
You know, I had this discussion with Tommy Hahn last night. We were talking, you know, racing isn't what it used to be. You know, when I was a kid, when you go to the racetrack, there'd be 2,000 people in the grandstands every week watching the races, right? you go to Riverside Stadium, and there was 1,500, 2,000 people in the grandstands every night down there. Something has changed in the motorsports world to where people are not in tune with the weekly racing shows. Would you agree with me on that?
It's
weekly racing, as we know it, is not the way it was back in the 80s or the 90s or the 70s. It's not like that anymore.
Well, just look at it. It's a generational thing for, let's say, my family.
Right.
I grew up going to it all the time, and I just stepped in the role of racing and driving. But if you have a fan that goes, and then, you know, either doesn't have, you know, the next generation follow him or have a kid or whatever, mm-hmm. and they just stop going to races, and that old fan base, you know, soon kind of fizzles out and dies out and goes away.
Right.
So, but also, too, you look at it, too, with the next, you know, generation and how the world is right now, that, you know, you have, you know, young fans that have no interest in going to the races. Either their family's not taking them, or they have no interest in going with their family. So we have no new young people coming into the sport to keep it alive.
You think that's because young kids don't work on the cars anymore? You think that's the reason? Because when I was a kid, you had a quadrajet, you know, you could run your own valves, you could maintenance your car, take care of your car yourself. Do you think it's the lack of young kids not working on their own cars is the problem?
I think that could be a factor in it too, but I mean, look, like, I'm just like, when I go home, or I can pull up my phone right now and be easily entertained for the cost of my cell phone.
Right.
You know, or you can go home and play video games, or, like, you know, it's just, it's
think
not
the phone.
You're more contained to being at home for entertainment. You're not, it's not like it used to be where, now I never experienced this, but from what people say, like, you know, kids and families and people always spent time outside and doing things.
Right.
Like, nobody's out.
Nobody does that
going anymore.
Yeah.
You know, and everybody's at home or, you know, watching TV or on their phones, and the kids have no interest in doing anything, you know, like that anymore. And, you know, the way the cars have been, it's just, I feel like the cars back in the day was maybe different than what we're dealing with now, where it's all more computer stuff and, you know, kids don't work on cars. They just take it to the dealership and
right.
that's it. So,
and let dad pay for it.
And that's, you know, that's not the sole reason why we're dealing with this, but there's, you know, 100 factors in every problem.
Yeah. What we need to do is get people to bring young kids to the racetrack so they can get involved in the sport. That's what we need to have done. And we need to have that done sooner than later. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, more Mostly Motorsports. Brian Brown is going to join us. He picked up his fifth 410 championship up at Knoxville Raceway last weekend. We'll talk to him about that and more on Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
Sure, especially sportswear in-house. We do all of the screen printing, all the embroidery. We do some vinyl. The other add specialty items like your pens, magnets, notepads, calendars. You can actually buy that, build your business to make it larger. We have the largest screen printing process and the largest embroidery anywhere around in the area. We can do stuff all the way from your school clubs to sports teams, a professional look in the office. If you can imagine it, we can do it for you.
Missouri's must-play getaway, Osage National Golf Resort.
3 9-hole whole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first-class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. A large pool for relaxation and families. The Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill. Great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Welcome back to Mostly Motorsports. I'm Scott Traylor, along with producer Austin O'Neill. Joining us now on the show, Scott just picked up his fifth 410 championship at Knoxville Raceway. Blackjack Brian Brown joins us on the show. Brownie, how you doing, bud?
I'm doing good, man. This has become a weekly thing. Good to be on with you, buddy.
Hey, man, I'm sorry that we're bugging you so much, but you know what?
No, heck no.
You got a lot going on, man, and gosh, it had to feel good to pick up that fifth championship.
Yeah, I mean, it does in lots of ways. Just because really, we went to the Bob Weicker Memorial, so we missed the weekend. We skipped the Kings Royal weekend. And still to accumulate enough points to still win the championship when the other guys ran all the races is cool. Something we hadn't planned on running for the championship, but come November when they hand out the, I think it's $20,000 or $25,000 to win the championship check, that's going to be good going through the winter, and it's an honor, as always, to represent Knoxville throughout the season.
Let me ask you this, Brian. What does it do for your career in recognition-wise? What's it do for your career when you tell people you're a five-time champion at Knoxville? Do you notice that you get a little extra out of that because you are a five-time champion at Knoxville?
I wouldn't foresay that just changes anything. I feel like, especially with our manufacturers of our products, they obviously want to be involved in championships. I kind of maybe took for granted a little bit what it meant until Monday. A lot of our partners, manufacturers call and just thanks for using their products and whatnot. So I think it's more they can hang it on their resume more as much as me, just because you don't win championships without obviously great partners and great manufacturers. I mean, if you have a a rear end that doesn't make the whole race, or an engine, or a wheel, or a wing, or any of that stuff, you can't win a championship. So I'm just as proud for those guys as I am for obviously myself and our team. But in general, I feel like when you go to PRI show and you go to different things and they ask about the season and how last year went, obviously a lot of people know who won the championship in all three divisions at Knoxville. So if you're going to win a track championship anywhere in the world, I'd say Knoxville is where you would want to win it. And it definitely doesn't hurt. Can't say, oh, we ran 10th in the points. You can say you won the championship is definitely always a feather in your cap.
You know, we were talking a little bit before we went on the air with you today about how great of a businessman you are in this industry. And to be honest with you, Brian, there's not many people like you that can do what you do and accumulate the amount of revenue that comes in from your sponsors like you have. What makes you so good at being a good businessman in this racing industry?
I'm not saying that I'm good.
You're excellent.
I think the main thing is just, you know, to try to run it like a business and try to put myself in their shoes and try to attract partners. And then when you attract them, the work starts, and then you try to obviously do things that beneficial to their business and things like that to try to keep them. Sometimes I feel like it's not so much what I do, it's what others don't want to do. Mm-hmm. They want to collect the check in January and then put a sticker on the car and don't do any work.
Don't service the sponsor, right?
Yeah, and they don't want to do any work until the next January when it's time to call them and go get your check again. And sometimes that is a hindrance, not a hindrance to me, but sometimes that's one of my downfalls. Is I don't really ever say no to my partners. You know, if they need something, they need my show car, Andy's Frozen Custard. They needed my show car last week in Overland Park. Yep, let's do it. Casey's needed it somewhere Friday. Yep, let's do it.
Right.
So it's a lot of that is a logistics too of like, but if we can do it, we do it. You know, we try to make it as turnkey as possible where they don't have to babysit us. We try to activate the sponsorships as much as we can on our own where they don't have to do a lot of work. And just be accessible to our partner and make sure that if there's an event or something they need me or my race car or both at, we want to be their first call and we want to be able to be there as much as we can. We can't do it all the time, but
right.
9 times out of 10, we want to be able to be there. And at the end of the day, too, it's we want to win on the track. And I want to be known as a great businessman, but I want to be known as a great race car driver, too. And hopefully when it's all said and done, they can say that in the same sentence about us and our race team.
Yeah, you've got the best of both worlds going on there. You're a great driver and you're a great businessman on top of it. You were going into last weekend's race trailing Aaron Reitzel by 85 points. Did you think that you had a good chance at overtaking Reitzel last weekend?
You know, if I would have woke up on Saturday morning, because I had thought about it a little bit, you know, mm-hmm. almost the more I thought about it, the more I was kind of disappointed in myself because we went into the Capitani Classic up like 30 or 40 points. And then, you know, I crashed there. Well, then we left the Capitani Classic down 85 points. So in my mind, I felt like I could probably cut that deficit in half if I had a really good night. And then if he had some bad luck or didn't run well, we would have an opportunity. But I definitely thought, Aaron Reitzel's a professional race car driver and his team's a professional team. I felt like they were going to have a solid night no matter which way you look at it, unless they just caught up in bad luck. And, you know, I felt like I'd probably drive home down 40 points and say, gosh, if I wouldn't have crashed that car, maybe what would have happened? What could have happened? But we went there, you know, kind of set the tone. We went out almost last, was second quick. He was seventh or eighth quick. Then the heat race, you know, he runs sixth in the heat. I run second. So it's almost like you could feel the tide turning a little bit, the momentum kind of swinging my way. And then for the A main, I was starting fourth, and he was starting 13th in the first A main. So I felt like at that point, okay,
you had a chance.
I can run the top two or three, And he's going to probably run it up to fourth or fifth, in my opinion. So it was going to be a pretty much a dead heat going into the final race, and then winner take all. And we run third, and he had some bad luck or didn't run as well as I'm sure they would hope. And they ran 12th. So now I'm going into the final race leading by 33 points. So my mentality changed a little bit at that point of, yeah, I want to win this race, but if I can run second or third here and keep him in my – I had to finish within three spots of him. Just don't crash or do something stupid to lose the race and the championship. So, yeah, leaving Saturday night, heading home, pulling out the back gates, you know, my mindset was like, man, I can't believe we just pulled that off.
Right.
You know, it was a Hail Mary, really, and it worked out. But, you know, really I felt like we were if not the fastest car, you know, one of the two fastest cars there all year long. So it wasn't like we just didn't win a race and got lucky. I mean, we felt like we were good all year long. And if we would have run all the races, you know, I don't think it would have been probably more than 54 point or 50 point win. So, overall we're proud of it. And, like I said, Aaron and his team, they're a very, very good team, as well as Austin. There's a bunch of good teams there. So to win that championship, is something we're very proud of.
Yeah. When you start the season, and you know that you're going to miss a few races along the way, do you automatically reject the thought of you trying to win the championship, or do you stay focused on trying to win the championship knowing that you're going to miss three races?
Well, I think we come out with a little bit different mindset, knowing we're going to be, in my mind, I tell myself, okay, if I'm going to miss two races here, I have to, like, every race I got to get max points. You know, I need to get max points qualifying, max points in the heat, and max points in the feature. Like, I run hard every single lap I'm there in general. But on the point end of it, I know in my head, if I can go in there and get max points and run real well, if I miss two races, there is a chance that those two races could get rained out. Or there's a chance that I can accumulate enough points to win the championship. And if not, maybe I can accumulate enough points to be third in points and get a $10,000 check.
Yeah.
So it's like basically I'm running. It's like a bonus, a race within a race for myself within my mind. That's just how we have approached it. You know, you got to run the same tire all night up there. So there are plenty of times in the heat races that I probably could say, you know what, I'm going to start sixth here. I've had quick time. I'm just going to run fourth or fifth. It's not going to really matter, and save my tire.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I've got a better tire for the A main. I'm just kind of the opposite. I run hard every lap and try to win every race. And then, you know, sometimes it pays off where in this situation, we've gathered enough points to be able to call ourselves champions.
Yeah. 60 career wins at Knoxville. That ties you with Doug Wolfgang. And, you know, there's so many people, I don't know where you would rate the drivers that have raced in sprint car racing over the years. We know that the king is Steve Kinser, right? And we know Jan Opperman, Doug Wolfgang, Sammy Swindell. But Doug Wolfgang is one of the great all-time drivers. What's it feel like to be tied with him on the win list at Knoxville?
Yeah, I mean, it's awesome. I mean, it's probably something that I don't even think about it as much as I probably should, just because I'm like, I want to win 61. When's the next race?
Right.
I mean, you kind of get caught up in winning the race and not the stats. I mean, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Doug, you know, when you mentioned Doug Wolfgang, I mean, if he's not in the top three greatest sprint car drivers that I've ever seen, I don't know who would be.
Right.
And, you know, top three just great people too. You know, I've got to know Doug pretty good over the years, and he came to the race at last year at Lakeside. He called me for a few tickets for his family. That meant a lot to me. Just so you know, I feel like that to even be mentioned in the same sentence as Doug Wolfgang and to have as many wins as him, man, it's awesome. I mean, it's you know, never dreamed of winning. I dreamed of winning one race, never dreamed of winning 60. And to be tied with him, you know, is awesome. I can't wait to go back there and try to get 61 and, just keep piling them up. I mean, if you can keep winning, you know, the sky's the limit. You know, I don't think anybody will ever catch Danny. But, you know, for a guy like my grandpa or something like that to say, hey, my, you know, when it's all said and done, my son has the most wins at Knoxville and my grandson has the second most wins. I mean, that's got to be, you know, pretty special for him.
Yeah.
And Danny, believe me, he lets me know that how many he has. So it's not like, man, I'm proud of you. You know, you did good. Like, he just, I'm still 52 ahead if you didn't get the memo. So that's motivation too. I mean,
yeah.
I want to try to catch him. I mean, if I can, I mean, and if I don't, then maybe I can get 85, you know, but I'm not going to race forever. I'm not on the, probably not on the race until I'm 60 program. You know, I'm on probably in my 50 program. So, going to be tough knowing that that's going to be my length of my career to try to win 52 more races there, but it's possible.
Yeah. Donnie Schatz, we had him on the show last week, and he was talking about what Danny Lasoski meant to him about working the bottom at Knoxville Raceway. And he kind of gave him a little bit of a credit about working the bottom, not only at Knoxville, but at other racetracks as well. We all know that dude was one of the great bottom feeders of all time, right?
And
if not the best, right? And just to hear Donnie Schatz say that he takes advice from your crew chief, the guy that has been in your corner in your entire career, let's say, right? What's that mean to you to have Donnie Schatz, the guy that's won 11 Knoxville Nationals, talk about your crew chief in such a light? What's that mean to you?
Yeah, I mean, just think that just shows the respect Donnie has for, you know, really guys like Danny, you know, our sport in general. I mean, he could very easily, he's if he's not, you know, the greatest sprint car driver in, you know, he's obviously the greatest sprint car driver in our era, but if he's not, you know, right there with Steve Kinser as the best ever, I don't know who else would be. And for him to still have the respect, I mean, he could very easily say, you know, I won these races because I'm Donnie Schatz. I'm the best ever. I mean, you could very easily have that mindset. He's really the opposite. He's saying I won these races because of guys like Danny that have helped me get better as a driver over the years. Just shows you what he thinks of our sport and the respect he has for Danny and really all of our sports. So, I think Donnie is a very, very good race car driver, a very smart race car driver, the cleanest race car driver that I run against all year long. You know, I was obviously not going to win the Knoxville Nationals from what situation I was dealt, but
right.
I mean, I felt like that almost the kind of tides had turned, and I feel like the whole place was kind of hoping he, and deep down, and you weren't saying it maybe out loud, but I felt like people were saying, man, if I can't win the Nationals, be cool to see Donnie win another one, you know. And I think the crowd showed that. I think this one, because of his dad, meant a lot to him.
Yeah.
And for him to get up there on that stage and make the comment about Danny, I think that was a special moment for Danny too. That you know, that what he'd helped Donnie with 20 years ago still stuck with him to this day, and Danny had a small part of that victory, in all 11 Donnie Schatz Nationals wins.
Yeah. Brownie, do you ever think about the thought about just going and running the World of Outlaw Tour or running the All-Star Tour full-time and trying to step back away from Knoxville? Or is Knoxville home and that's all you want to do and you want to dip in and try to run some of the races? I know you're going to PA and everything else, but have you ever thought about trying to go run full-time with the Outlaws?
Yeah, I've definitely. It's obviously, as a driver, I would love to go and commit 5 years of my life to go and doing that, because that's what you really would have to do. But business wise, we were talking about business 10 minutes ago with one of your questions, and business wise, it doesn't make sense for our brand and our business because our partners are littered through the Midwest, you know, from Casey's and FEP and Impact Signs and Champion Oil and Andy's Frozen Custard, and they're Midwest companies. So I feel like if business wise, if I would do that, I'm not saying that It wouldn't help our brands in some cases, but right. I'm not sure that does it do us any good to run the World of Outlaws and be in Weedsport, New York on a Saturday night when there's no Casey's within 20 hours, 15 hours.
Yeah.
There's no FEP. There's no Andy's. There's no when they're running at the sprint car capital of the world that's paying really, really good money, you know, and then you picked up an all-star race on the way in Odessa, Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I just don't really understand the thinking of why would you want to go do that? I mean, Brent Marks has won more money than any World of Outlaw. I mean, I think probably the top two or three money earners in the country right now are right. non-outlaws.
Yeah.
So why I don't want to go run the Outlaws just to say, oh, I'm an outlaw driver. To me, it's you're a sprint car driver, and when you go to the bank on Monday, they don't care if it was an outlaw race or a World of Outlaw or an all-star race or a Knoxville. They want to know how much you want to deposit. And yeah. at the end of the year, your partners want to know, did we get the most bang for our buck by partnering with Brian Brown Racing? And to me, if you get doing things selfishly because I want to run for the Outlaws, because I want to race with the best of the best,
right.
that may not be the best
business decision
for your partners. And
right.
they may not say it, but you know, maybe they deep down inside don't want you to really do that, but they're going along with it because of you want to do it. Well, guess what? Don Lamberti, founder of Casey's, comes to Knoxville every single Saturday night. He sits in his suite every single Saturday night. Casey's brings 15 to 20 customers, employees every single Saturday night. If I'm racing in Weedsport, New York, how easy is it for them to say, you know what, we're just going to try to find another local guy so we can have a guy here every week that we can show our employees and customers his program, and like next thing you know, they're sponsoring somebody else.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I've been this far down the road doing it the way we do it. I'm not saying it's the perfect way, but it works pretty good for our program, and we've been able to have some longevity with our partners. I just don't want to jeopardize that by going and being selfish and say, I want to go run the Outlaws. And because I really don't think you're not going to make more money. You're right. doing it just to do it. And I would love to do it as a driver. Just, okay, Casey Kane calls, Brian Brown, will you drive my car? Yes. But as an owner, I got to think about the big picture of our whole program and think of our partners. I think that's the thing. As I said earlier, you know, a lot of times people just do what they want to do. They don't think about what the partners want also. And
right.
you have to kind of draw a line in the sand and kind of teeter-totter on both sides of the fence sometimes and think about the big picture. And that's kind of what I try to do. You can't go to Barnes & Noble and buy a car owner's book. They don't sell them. You just got to kind of do what's good, what's right in your stomach and your heart, and help you make the right decisions along the way.
Yeah. Well, Brian, I appreciate you. I know we had you on. We have you on a lot, but you're our local guy, man, and we always appreciate you taking the time to join us here on Mostly Motorsports. What's the plans coming up? What are you going to be doing here the next couple weeks?
Yeah, so we're leaving for Pennsylvania tomorrow. We'll run out there 4 days this week, and then next month, I think there's about 20 races out there total we can race, and we for good money, anywhere between $5,000 to win to $55,000 to win, and lots of them in between some 20s and some 30s. So lots of really the month of money in Pennsylvania, and we're looking forward to getting out there. And you know, our engine builder Charlie Garrett's from Hanover, and we got a lot of great support out in that neck of the woods. So we're looking to, and really, quite honestly, there's just not a lot going on around. Once Knoxville ends, there's a few shows around here, but most generally we'd be sitting around doing nothing. So we want to keep racing and racing with the PA Posse. We'll test you night in and night out and make our race team better. So we're looking forward to going, running those races, and we feel like that we can go out there and be competitive and make our partners and make everyone proud of our race team.
This is the time of year when you really get to enjoy yourself because you do the weekly grind up at Knoxville. But once Knoxville ends, this is your time to kind of go out and show the rest of the world that you're capable of running with the World of Outlaws or the All-Stars as well, right?
Yeah, I mean, we've went out there before, and we've won races. We won at Williams Grove last year, and in general, I just feel like once, really, this is my favorite time of the year for several reasons. I mean, just because the weather gets a little cooler, football season starts, and the racing is fun. And I'm not saying it's not fun in July and August, but it's more pressure of lots of stuff going on, that is sometimes out of your control, or just a lot of stuff going on in general as an owner and a driver in July and August, just making sure you need what, you have what you need, and, everything is, and it's hot and everything is going in the right direction during those months. Once that's over, it's like, phew, we got through that. Now let's get to the meat and potatoes and let's go race and have some fun. That's really what it's all about. Not saying that all the rest of the year is not fun, but it's a business. And sometimes the business piece takes a little bit of fun out of it. We still have fun, but maybe not just as much. And when this time of the year hits, you can race at Williams Grove and drive 45 minutes, to the next track, and drive 45 minutes to the next track, and drive 45 minutes to the next track. So a lot of times in the middle of the summer, you're driving, you race one place and drive 5 hours, and then drive 5 hours more, and then 4 hours more. And after a while, it takes a toll on you and your team.
Yeah.
And that can take some of the fun out of it. Getting to the car wash at 5 a.m.
No doubt.
After four nights in a row is not, I couldn't say that's fun, but it's part of it. And we get through it, and we get through it so we can get to times of the season like this and get out there and have some fun and put some good runs on the board.
I know that you did the grand opening of Andy's Frozen Custard. 810 was out there that day too, weren't they?
Yep. Yeah. My boy, Stephen St. John. Yep. He was out there, and they did a live remote. Just cool to be a part of those events. Andy's is a growing brand, really, I think they're at 110 locations, I believe, right now throughout the country in 13 or 14 states. So to be on the growing end of a brand like Andy's and seeing it grow and continue to grow and try to spread the word about how good it is. It's awesome. And we got such great partners, man. We're so lucky to be able to not just have one, but have multiple people that are corporations and businesses that believe in us. We're proud to represent those. And like I said earlier, those people went into work on Monday to their business and known that their car won a championship on Saturday night.
Yeah.
To me, that's got to feel special to all those people also.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, Blackjack, we appreciate you taking the time again this week. Congratulations on the 5th championship up there at Knoxville. We'll be talking to you down the road. Get out there in PA and win a couple races, okay?
I will. We'll win all 4 this weekend and come back on next Wednesday. How's that sound?
Man, I'd love that. Anytime, Brian. Thank you, buddy.
All right. Thank you, guys. You guys take care. Bye-bye.
All right. There you have it, Blackjack Brian Brown. We're going to take a break. When we come back, more Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks,
will not void new car warranties. Contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
So here at Specialty Sportswear, in-house, we do all of the screen printing, all the embroidery. We do some vinyl. The other add specialty items like your pens, magnets, notepads, calendars. You can actually buy that, build your business, to make it larger. We have the largest screen printing process and the largest embroidery anywhere around in the area. We can do stuff all the way from your school clubs to sports teams, a professional look in the office. If you can imagine it, we can do it for you.
Missouri's must-play getaway, Osage National Golf Resort.
3 9-hole whole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first-class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. A large pool for relaxation and families. The Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill. Great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Welcome back to Mostly Motorsports. I want to remind everybody about the great track tribute that is going on right now up at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. It's going to be going on through October 1st. It's all about Ascot Park and the history of that racetrack, folks. They've got videos, driver uniforms, helmets, memorabilia, all kinds of things on display. Plus, they got a bunch of great race cars up there as well. I've said it many times on this show that the Jimmy Oski car, the old paint car, is my favorite car up there. It's still got the patina. It's still the original paint on the race car. I just love that car. I just love the way they've kept the history of that car unique, and it is so cool to see up there. Also, if you want to see a Pernelli Jones number 98 Turkey Night Midget, it's up there as well. Dean Thompson's number 2 sprint car is there as well. So get up there to the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. Check out the great track tribute to Ascot Park. Again, that's going to be going on through October 1st. And while you're up there, buy you a raffle ticket for the 2022 XXX chassis with the Moyle Racing engine in it. It's a complete 410 race car, folks, and they're going to give you $25,000 on top of that to help pay for the taxes as well. It's such a great opportunity to get a great sprint car, a triple X chassis with a 410 motor in it, a complete turnkey race ready car, turnkey push ready race car. I don't know why I say turnkey. That's just the stupidest thing I could say. Anyway, but if you can't make it up to the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum, you can always do it online at SprintCarRaffle.com. That is SprintCarRaffle.com. I thought that information that Brian kind of talked about a little bit, I thought there was a lot of insight right there. You know, you make the choices in this industry based on your sponsorship. And Brian Brown recognizes that his sponsors, the people that are involved with his race team, are on a regional level. And if he decided to go and run full-time with the World of Outlaws, that might take away some of those sponsors, and those sponsors might go try to find somebody that wants to run at Knoxville every week. So I thought that was very insightful, what Brian Brown was saying. What did you think, Austin?
No, I agree with you 100%. And, you know, I think, you know, Brown is one of the smartest and one of the best people we have in the sprint industry. car racing that can work sponsors. You know, everybody looks up to Brian. If you're not a fan of Brian Brown, you look up to him. Even though you might not be a fan, you still look up to him for
business-wise,
what he does for his business. And, you know, he understands that if there wasn't Casey's FBP for the past, I think he told us, 12, 13 years now, or, you know, Andy's, which is new this year, I believe he has. He's told me, like, I think anywhere from 40 to 55 sponsors. And it's from number one to 55. They're all important. And, you know, he realizes and understands that, you know, if it wasn't for all of those, that, you know, Brian, you know, wouldn't be where he's at today. And that's, you know, everybody needs to think that way. And, you know, I think he's done the best, you know, with that, and understands how, you know, what position that he's in, and how unique and just, yeah, just pretty much how unique it is, and, you know, he's taking advantage of it.
All right. Rick chimed in. He said, Brian's business mindset in the sprint car world is amazing. Hard not to admire his dedication to his sponsors and them to dedicated to his sponsors and them to him as well. I agree with you, Rick, 100%. Frog said, was impressed. It was exciting to keep track of where the two ran through the two features. Tickled. T.O. witnessed it. He represented his sponsors well. Maybe I didn't read that right. But
two, not T.O., two.
Two.
It was excited to witness it.
Well, he threw me off when he put the capital T.O. in there. Because to me, T.O. is Trent Owens, so you know. He said he also stood on the roof with some of Casey's group. The love for BBR, he's got it figured out. That's what Frog says as well. So I thought that was a pretty interesting interview right there. We've had Brian on here the last few weeks, and it's always interesting to hear his take on the sprint car world. What are you going to do this weekend, Austin?
It's a very good question.
Are you going to go down to the lake and watch the races?
I don't know. I thought about it. I had planned on it, you know, a couple weeks ago, and I don't know. I might end up down there. I probably won't. I had a long weekend. I might take a weekend off.
Are you a little tired?
Yeah.
How could you be tired at 19?
Well, let me tell a story.
All right. Go ahead. Tell the story.
This weekend, went and helped Tony Ross at I-80 in Knoxville.
You didn't get much sleep. Yeah.
No, I didn't get much sleep. It was fun, though. I told Tony on the way home, it's going to make for a great story someday. And raced I-80. Left the track about midnight, blew a trailer tire about 30 minutes down the road into our three and a half hour trip to Des Moines. Spent about an hour on the side of the highway changing a tire. Changed that, got to Des Moines about 4 o'clock, was up at 7 o'clock, 7:30.
Doing maintenance?
To leave to go to Knoxville. Got to Knoxville about 9, car washed till about 10:30. About 10:30, I found out the rear end was
up
bent.
Up there by Walmart?
Yep, at the Walmart, actually.
Yeah.
Figured out the rear end was bent. Spent about 3 hours changing rear ends. And then at that point, it was probably an hour to 2 hours before we had to go to the track. And still didn't have any of our maintenance done. And had a guy walk up. And when we first heard his accent, he was from Australia. And so we got kind of excited that we might have found some good help. And his name's Gary Jackson. He came out and helped us to Knoxville just in the middle of middle of the day doing maintenance at the parking lot.
Never met the guy.
Never met the guy. Just
how cool
was
that?
Was in town to watch the races and
wanted to help somebody.
Yeah, he saw we needed help and stepped in, and he was able to take care of most of our maintenance. And you know, all day in the sun and in the heat in a parking lot's not fun on 2 hours of sleep. But at a 4 hour drive home after the races and an hour drive to my hotel was trying, but it was a fun weekend.
Yeah.
So it might call for a weekend off for me.
You're way too young to be tired, is what Frog said. But you know what? Anybody that works that many hours and doesn't get much sleep at all overnight, it makes anybody tired. It takes a week to recover from it sometimes.
I walked about, just on Saturday, I walked about 10 miles.
You did?
Yeah, so that'll wear someone out, I guess. My poor Vans are feeling rough.
Yeah.
Warm out.
Yeah. All right. Well, we want to thank everybody for tuning in to Mostly Motorsports. Steve Post is going to join us tomorrow on the show. Let me just say, next week, Steve Post and I are going to go to Knuckleheads in Kansas City on Wednesday night. And then next Thursday, Steve Post is going to be sitting right here in the studio with us, doing the show with us on next Thursday. So if you want to check out Steve Post in studio with us, he's going to be right here with us next Thursday. So keep tuned in for that. And that should be a lot of fun, getting Postman in here in the studio and hanging out with us for an hour. So again, for Austin O'Neill, for my partner Kirk Elliott, I'm Scott Traylor saying thanks for joining us. It's all been brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. We'll see you tomorrow, 12 noon Central Time.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.